Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, my provocative conversation with Daniel Horowitz, COVID thought crimes incoming. Is the vaccine helping or hurting? Daniel Horowitz argues that there is a genocide happening in the country with COVID. Pretty amazing claim. If you want to support our program, you could do so at charliekirk.com/support. I want to thank Helen for supporting us. That allows us to go after these types of topics, by the way. So if you hear us throughout this podcast, you're like, wow, they're pretty bold and brave to do these topics. Well, it's because you guys support us at charliekirk.com/support. Jarrett from Weatherford, Oklahoma. Thank you. Amanda from Texas. Thank you. Bennett from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you. Kristen from Michigan. Thank you. Teresa from Oklahoma. Thank you. Deborah from Connecticut. Thank you. Ilana from New Jersey. Thank you. Doug from Rancho Palos Verdes. Thank you. Pamela from Washington. Thank you. Ginny from Chattanooga. Thank you. Karen from Albuquerque. Thank you. Cynthia from El Paso. Thank you. Kevin from Westland, Michigan. Thank you. Ray from Rhode Island. Thank you. Christine from Victorville, California. Thank you. Lori from Albuquerque. Thank you. Justin from Meridian, Idaho. Christopher from Salem, Massachusetts. Pamela from Coto de Caza, California. Thank you. Amber from California. Thank you. Ralph from White House, Tennessee. Heidi from Walnut, California. And Tong from Phoenix. If you guys want to support us, it's charliekirk.com/support. Be part of that team that helps us grow, flourish, strengthen. charliekirk.com/support. Please consider getting behind us today. Email me directly, freedom@charliekirk.com, and I hope I will see all of you in Phoenix, Arizona for America Fest, tpusa.com/amfest, December 18, 19, 20, 21. We have Tucker Carlson coming, Kayleigh McEnany coming, Candace Owens coming, Donald Trump Jr. coming, and so much more. tpusa.com/AMFEST, tpusa.com/AMFEST. Daniel Horowitz is here. Is the vaccine helping or hurting? COVID thought crimes, ivermectin, Uttar Pradesh, azithromycin, and more. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. This episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of the Charlie Kirk Show. With us today is a friend of mine, and I do not say this lightly. He is one of the smartest people on the planet, and he's a gift. He's a gift to our country. He's a gift from God, and he is wise. He is relentless. Sometimes he's contrarian, and he's brave. And going all the way back at the beginning of the pandemic, he's always just decided to go where the numbers lead him. And quite honestly, also on crime, he's had some of the best articles on what's happening with crime in America. But that's not what we're here to talk about. It's Daniel Horowitz. The name of his podcast is called Conservative Review, and he's in very high demand now. He's a treasure. When he talks, I just stop. I drop what I'm doing. I say, he makes sense. He knows his stuff. And we have gone into great detail on two of his articles in particular that I want to talk about. But first, Daniel, welcome back to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Great to be with you, and thank you for your kind comments. Look, I never thought that during a time of an open border, the most ubiquitous crime wave we've ever experienced, and inflation like Venezuela, strained supply lines, those wouldn't even be the problems.
Yes.
We'd literally be fighting for our bodies, our lives, our ability to live. And that's certainly what's been keeping me busy, but glad to join you today.
Well, it's just terrific. And so we're going to go into two of your articles in particular, and we'll see where it leads us. The first, I want to talk about your piece on a province in India from Uttar Pradesh, I might be mispronouncing it, and how they used ivermectin. What do the numbers tell you when you did your research?
Sure. So, you know, one thing is very clear. Whatever you do or don't do, pharmaceutical intervention, NPI, non-pharmaceutical intervention, I think the most consistent thing the last 18 months is it comes, it saturates an area for 6 to 8 weeks, and it leaves, and then kind of comes back. So, you know, it's hard to draw conclusions because we have to understand natural cycles are the most important thing here. Now, to be clear, the virus is not natural. It was created and contrived. But once it's in circulation, that's what it seems to do. However, when you go to this province in India and actually several others that also use ivermectin, but this one is the most profound because they institutionalized it most broadly throughout the population, is that their curve dropped the quickest and the earliest, and then it flatlined. So if you look at America, if you look at anywhere in Europe, even when it's low and out of season, there's a certain floor. There's a certain floor that it's kind of always circulating. Mm-hmm. There it is literally dead. And when I say dead, I mean a place, you know, what, 70% of the size of America, right? 240 million people having 10 cases.
I just want to say, so this is Uttar Pradesh, a province in India, which is it, are they richer than Americans?
You know, these are the places where you see 10, 12 o'clock at night, the streets line with homeless people.
Yes, and I say that obviously facetiously, meaning that they do not have anywhere near the type of healthcare we have. But you're saying they're near almost a immeasurable low rates of the Fauci virus. And you say that's because?
So the only explanation we have is that they were using ivermectin, and not just like, okay, you could use it in the hospital if you want and we won't cut your head off like they do here, but they actually proactively, and there's doctors there that talk about this, they put out good videos about it, they would proactively get people on ivermectin, dispense it to the homes, so people are taking it early, some were taking it prophylactically as a preemptive measure, where obviously it's almost impervious. If you use it then, that's always the best before the virus could replicate inside the cells. And then, and it wasn't just that, they also use antibiotics, either some use doxycycline, azithromycin, and a few other things. And it's important to realize, again, it's not about any one drug. It's about treating a virus. It's a very novel idea. We've done everything under the sun. We've dug up the graves. We've done everything. We've destroyed every physical, mental health, emotional health, children's lives, economic disruption. We have done everything except for treat the virus, right? It's an unbelievable thing that has been forgotten. We have never done this in history. So there, they don't have enough rope to hang themselves. They don't have the money we have to spend trillions of dollars on things that don't work and then, you know, shut down, but then, you know, backfill that with trillions of dollars of printed monopoly money. They can't do that. So here we've made everything expensive. There, for pennies on the dollars, they had ivermectin, and now Americans are ironically getting it from India because they've locked it up here for most people. And what you see is a flat line. And when I say a flat line, I mean 10 cases in a country, a state the size of 70% of America, 240 million people, and half of the districts in Uttar Pradesh have zero cases, and the other half that have more people in them have a few.
Now, Daniel, the let's say medical industrial complex people, when I mention this, they say it's because they don't have testing, it's because they're covering it up, it's because it's happening. But unlike in America, you know, because we're so sophisticated, we know when we have the virus. Is there any truth to that?
In fact, India is a very strong bureaucratic state. They have tons of testing there. Their positivity rate is 0.00030 before a 3%, the lowest out of, I want to make this clear, it is the largest state in India. People may never have heard of it, but it ropes in a little bit of Delhi and some urban areas. It is the largest, most populous state in India, which is the second most populous country on Earth, and it has the lowest positivity rate. So that flies in the face of all the epidemiology we typically see, that the more urban an area is, the more it percolates. They had plenty of cases, but when they started using ivermectin, they got it down. And when they got it down, it's been, I would say, July, August, September, October, 4 months of flat line. We don't have anywhere on Earth where we have 4 months of flat line. So that is what it looks like when you treat it and you treat it early. There's no such thing as high risk, low risk, obese. I mean, there is. It factors in, don't get me wrong, but it's a matter of treat it or not treat it. We have an epidemic of the untreated. That is the point. And again, it's not ivermectin. I want to make it very, I love ivermectin. It's a matter, I could come up with 50 things. In other words, someone has their, they call their PCP. So the same PCP that's like, hey, I'm writing a letter to your kid's class. No 2-year-old is allowed to be there unmasked when they don't have the virus, by the way. But then that same physician, if a 70-year-old patient with cardiovascular disease and diabetes calls up and says, hey, I just tested positive for COVID. Hey, no problem. Wait until you can't breathe and then go to the hospital. And we have some beautiful remdesivir waiting there for you at $3,000 a pop to cause renal failure and liver toxicity. And they won't even prescribe. There's a very nuanced drug that you might never have heard of. It's called prednisone, right? You know, we kind of prescribe that pretty often. So, you know, if you got a guy with his blood oxygen level in the 70s, that's hard to deal with. And that's what this thing has proven. But if you get the blood oxygen, now really it should never even get there. Yes. But let's say his blood oxygen level dips below 95. That's where you need to come in with high dose prednisone. Just that alone, the steroids, we know it works. And they do try to use it in the hospital, though the wrong steroid at the wrong dosage. But that's another story. But that's when you got to do it. They will not prescribe. I've had doctors tell me that they'll have a patient who's not even COVID. It's like a sinus infection or pneumonia, and they'll prescribe azithromycin and prednisone. And the guy will say, that looks like a COVID protocol. I'm not filling that. So, you know, Charlie, this is the most revealing thing of the last 18 months, more so than the shots and the mask and the lockdown, to the extent commensurate with how much you claim to care about COVID. Oh my God, a 2-year-old walking around without symptoms. He might have COVID. He needs a mask. Well, certainly if a guy got COVID, man, he has COVID. Oh my God, we're bringing all the stuff and everything. No, drop dead. I don't want to hear from you because they don't care about COVID. They don't want to treat it. And not only don't they want to treat it, here's the deal. The most important thing, it's hard to review 18 months worth. And I know it's been a while since I've been on, but the most important thing here and now that will answer everything that's going on, every enigma, is this. They want to make sure there is no control group. And I don't mean control is in power that they want. I mean, scientifically, a control group that does something different than what they're doing. Because if you had one state where people ubiquitously early on were like, I got COVID, rather than test and trace, test and control, test and treat right away. Like, imagine you get a colonoscopy. And like, hey, there's a bunch of polyps there. Let's wait until it's stage 4 cancer. Well, why treat it early when you can treat it later? No, that's when you bomb away. Not a single person had to die from this after the first 2-3 weeks. That is the biggest scandal. They created the virus. They threw us in a building, set it on fire, blocked all the exits, and then threw lighter fluid on it to make sure it would burn quickly. That's the so-called vaccine and the remdesivir.
Are you worried about America's future? Times of trouble are full of reasons to despair, but those who have built and preserved our country did not despair. And if we're going to do our part, we need to draw on the books, the history, and the ideas that gave our forefathers and mothers strength and inspiration. Hillsdale College, the beacon of the North, the last college, was founded in 1844 to teach these things, and it teaches them still today. The great news is that we can study all these things along with Hillsdale College professors right in our home. Through Hillsdale College's free online course, we can study the history of our civilization, the wisdom of ancient and Christian philosophers, the writings of Shakespeare and Mark Twain. We can reacquaint ourselves with our Constitution. We can learn how the Constitution has been undermined, and more importantly, how it can be recovered. I take the Hillsdale online courses every single day. You guys can go to charlieforhillsdale.com and join me in taking Intro to Constitution, Constitution 101, The Federalist Papers, an intro to the Progressive Era, Progressive 201 is what it's called. The From Genesis to John Locke, the Western Tradition. How about how to teach your children Genesis? Look, if you want to know what's going wrong with our country, then you guys have to go to charlieforhillsdale.com and learn about the truth behind Western civilization, behind truth and beauty and goodness. They have a course on Dante's Divine Comedy. I just finished recently the Winston Churchill and Statesmanship course. Every child, every kid, every person, every citizen should take the Winston Churchill and Statesmanship class. I just finished Introduction to Aristotle's Ethics, How to Lead a Good Life. And I'm telling you, I'm almost done, 41% of the way there, Western Heritage from Genesis to John Locke. The Genesis story, I'm about to wrap up. The C.S. Lewis course is incredible. The Great American Story, Land of Hope. Every single person, if you're a parent, literally pay your children to do it. There's no better investment. Have them go through The Great American Story, A Land of Hope. And also, if you're like, hey, what's the proper way to educate my kids? They have a course on that too. A Proper Understanding of K-12 Education, Theory, and Practice. They have a new course now, The David Story, Shepherd, Father, and King. They have one on mathematics and logic from Euclid to modern geometry, civil rights and American history, classic children's literature. Also, Congress, How It Worked and Why It Doesn't, The Second World Wars, Mark Twain, Tom Sawyer, Huckleberry Finn, and selected short stories. Literally, if you take every single Hillsdale online course, it's better than most college diplomas out there. I am not kidding. So dive deep into the ideas. Do it with your kids. Maybe you are a college student listening to this. You're like, man, I'm not getting much out of my college experience. Or here's another thing. Maybe your college professors are teaching you garbage about Western civilization. Then counter that by taking your own courses to know the truth and challenge your professors. They have a great one on the presidency and the Constitution, Economics 101, the principle of free market economics. And they have some new ones coming out with Victor Davis Hanson that will blow your socks off. It's charliefourhillsdale.com. Zero cost. It is free. charliefourhillsdale.com. We will save our country when you step up and do something to learn about our history. Do it with me. I take an hour a day minimum to try to learn something new through the Hillsdale online courses. It's charliefourhillsdale.com. charliefourhillsdale.com.
Pandemic of the untreated. And so, Daniel, in one of your pieces, if my memory serves me well, I'm going to dig it up, you allude to the fact that this really is a regime that is being run by pharmaceutical companies, that this is about a small group of pharmaceutical companies that are calling the shots. Is it that sinister? Is it that diabolical, Daniel? Or is there another explanation to this?
I mean, I think it's broader than that, but certainly one of the lead ships in that armada of the system, when you talk about the system, the cabal, the globalists, it's the pharmaceuticals. And I love how you call it the Fauci virus. China virus is really off message. They likely knew about it. Maybe they had some involvement. This ain't the Chinese. They used Wuhan because it was offshores. This was done by UNC, UNC Chapel Hill, Burrick, Drasic, Fauci, and all the pharmaceuticals that were in it. By the way, fun fact, UNC Chapel Hill, which is the ground zero for the gain of function research for coronaviruses, you know that they're the ones who had remdesivir. Gilead somehow got a hold of it. Look it up, UNC remdesivir. How is it that the only thing that was ever approved, which as I wrote yesterday, I have an article on this at The Blaze, NIH's own website says it causes liver toxicity and renal failure. And we're seeing that with so many patients, which is why a lot of people come in moderate COVID. They should get over it just like they go into the hospital with pneumonia every year. COPD, we have this, it's treatable, and they die. And it is the remdesivir. It's one vicious cycle. So they'll look at ivermectin and say, we can't use that. And they're like, okay, let's say we're wrong and it's a sugar pill, but it is literally safer than Tylenol. It won the Nobel Prize. Every piece of literature says it's well tolerated. No one's ever had a problem. Why not try it? No, it's not enough. So you're like, man, these guys are real sticklers. But then you look to remdesivir and it has negative efficacy. There's not a single study that says it works. Not a single doctor that says it works. Causes kidney, by the way, think about this. They created a virus that causes liver failure and blood clots. They created a shot that causes cardiovascular and hematological issues. Then they, to mop it up, to round out the organs, they create a therapeutic that causes kidney and liver failure. And by the way, the other drug they use in the ICU is Olumiant, O-L-U-M-I-N-T. That's the brand name. I can't pronounce the generic, so that's why I use Olumiant. The brand name starts with the generic starts with a B. That's what you'll see in the media more often. Do you know it has a black box FDA warning? So that's a term of art. It's very rare. It's not like, every drug is like, you might die, yada, yada, yada. They have to put that on there. This is a black box warning for, you guessed it, Charlie, blood clots. So you have a guy in a situation in the ICU where the most precarious thing that you're trying to avoid is a pulmonary embolism, blood clotting in the lungs, blood clotting elsewhere as well. And the one thing they use causes, one thing causes kidney and liver failure. The other thing causes blood clots. You can't do this by accident. And I've had lawyers on my podcast that have taken them to court, and they testified in court that they advised the family to take the patient off of life support. So bottom of the ninth inning, three outs, it's over. They admit it's over. So the family's like, could we please try ivermectin? And they're like, it might cause problems. And everyone laughs at that. And by the way, this is a real case for Ralph Lauriga. He's a Buffalo-based attorney that's done most of these ivermectin cases. Now, you laugh, but it's not funny because they're serious. What they mean when they say it's going to cause problems, remember what I told you. They cannot afford to have a control group. If you had people broadly being turned around on ventilators, it would expose the entire fraud of what they've been doing. So it's kind of like where we are now is when the Navy SEALs surround the compound with the terrorists in it. They don't give up. They get more vicious and they slit the throats of the hostages then because they have to cover up all the evidence. What we are in now is, it might have been to answer your question about control, about power, money, and that's all true. But at this point, they have to make sure there's no control group. Same thing with the vaccine.
But why? Let's face it. For ego or for prestige?
No, because they'll get caught. Because
that's even more diabolical than making money. It's a multi-million person criminal enterprise.
This is a criminal enterprise. I cannot come up with another conclusion.
No, I agree. It's just nice to hear someone with an IQ as high as yours to say it out loud.
Think about this with the vaccine. You know, in most areas, white collar workers, you're talking about adults, it's 90-95% have gotten it. I mean, they have been more successful than they could ever imagine. Take yes for an answer. They have to squeeze out the last 5%. They can't have a control group that doesn't get the antibody-dependent disease enhancement that these people are going to likely get. They can't afford that. And this is why, like, you have federal workers that never step into the office, that they only work remotely, and they make them get it. They already had the virus. They make them get it. It doesn't matter. Everyone has to get this. See, if they said, look, you know, we think this is generally good, is, you know, more side effects than we usually tolerate, but it's a pandemic. We feel it's worth it. These people we think should get it. You know, if you already had it, then I wouldn't look any further. But now that they're like, man, everyone needs to get it. It's 100% effective. Zero problems. You know, then we know there's something about it. And by the way, one fun fact that I don't know if you or your audience knows this, but you should. Remember the Kelo case, eminent domain, New London, New Hampshire. It's a 2005 Supreme Court case that established private use eminent domain. Do you know who the defendant was in that case?
Who is it?
Pfizer.
Oh, geez.
People don't realize it was Pfizer. Now, it's still a vacant lot. They never wound up using it. But fun fact, Pfizer 16 years ago established your property, our choice. 16 years later, they've now established your body, our choice.
So what we're describing is one of the more frustrating chapters in American history, and people are wondering, why is it we can't even speak about this? And obviously, if you dare talk about it, you're suppressed. I want to ask you a side note question. You host the Conservative Review podcast. Have you been disappointed at how few conservatives have been willing to talk about this and instead pander to the pharmaceutical industries and basically be employees and shills of AstraZeneca, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, and Pfizer?
Man, Charlie, I got to be careful here.
Why?
So, you know, like you, I got into this at a young age. I got a few years on you. So I've been doing this a while, but I'm certainly not that old. And I promised myself I'm not going to do this the rest of my life. Meaning I was like anyone else. I was like, yay, Team Red. How many seats? Next election. Okay. 54 seats in the Senate. Okay. Win the next election. And then after a couple cycles, like I kind of learned, oh, this is a fraud. I mean, I woke up. Okay. The Republican Party is a joke.
Yes.
They're bought out. There's maybe a handful of good guys that use it for ballot access because they have nowhere else to go. But aside from that, it's Tweedledee Tweedledum. And what we are doing is not working. And I said to myself, I don't earn a lot of money in this. If I wanted to do it, I would go into something else. And if I'm going to do this, it's got to make a difference. And it frustrated me that on any measure, since I got into this, the 2000s, the first decade, professionally, on any measure, fiscal, I remember writing press releases for people in the Tea Party wave. It was unconscionable. We reached $12 trillion in debt. And it shocked the mind. The levels of Obama spending that first term, it shocked the mind. And now we would die to go back that. The level of people on Medicaid and spending and food stamps. Socially, like, we didn't even know what the word transgender was, and we thought we were losing our values. Mm-hmm. Illegal immigration, culture, anything. Name me one thing. We are better off than we were. And now I'm talking about February 2020. Now it's the Fourth Reich. I mean, that's obvious. This is an emergency. But I'm talking about even before COVID. But what I found throughout my career is this, and I'm going to get to COVID. But what I found throughout my career is 99% of conservative organizations and individuals, they will never fight the issue that matters at the time it matters and in the way it matters. So, it's not that they'll necessarily be out of sync ideologically broadly, but they'll wave the flag. I'm pro-gun, I'm pro-life. And it's like, okay, well, what does that do for me at that given moment? By the way, when we have opportunities for those issues, they're usually chasing another squirrel, right? So it's always another issue. It's always something else. And it's like, look, I never thought I'd talk about ivermectin and pulmonary inflammation, cytokine storms, and how to deal with this. But that's what you're confronted with. I mean, my entire podcast the last half a year has turned into a medical show getting people treatment.
I feel like at least
I lost a 30-year-old, and I promised myself I'll leave no man behind.
Well, and I laugh. I mean, thanks to people I know, we've connected to people to life-saving treatment. And we have, and I'm proud of that.
This is a fourth world country. Uttar Pradesh is a third world country where, they don't have the resources. God gave us the resources. We flushed it, and we made something that was pennies on the dollar now expensive, and people can't get it. In the United States of America, you cannot get azithromycin. You can't get prednisone. You can't get nebulizer.
But that's a different
with budesonide. But even the doctors that do it, they're getting their licenses yanked now. Yes. I mean, the pharmacies won't prescribe. And the problem with all these conservative people is like most of them really have been MIA from the lockdowns to the mask to the shots head on. That's if they're not downright on the wrong side of the issue, which some of them are. But I'm saying the ones that aren't downright on the wrong side of the issue, they're never focused on it. And, look, this all started where? It started in the States. We're like, oh, Biden. But the reality is this started in the States. And I will tell you, there is not a single state where you have medical freedom, not a single state where the hospitals are not committing genocide, not a single state where doctors freely prescribe and pharmacists freely fill, not a single state where they're putting the money into what works. Florida's the best grading on a curve. But still, I mean, at least you have the monoclonals are pretty well dispatched there. But the money is not being spent in any state where it should be. The policies, there's not a single state where we're protected from the private sector. And we could talk about that mandates. I've been harping on this. Republicans have the trifecta in 23 states. They have super majorities in 19 states. There's a number of them I've been dealing with this week, Arkansas, Idaho. They have like 4-1 majorities. So we're promised we need to win the midterm elections. Okay, so you have a narrow rhino majority in Congress. I'll do you one better. I'll give you 4-1. Hey, actually, no, Charlie, I'll give you a 28-2 majority in the Wyoming Senate. And we have a 16-year-old girl in the freaking state of Wyoming being arrested for not covering her breathing orifices. So we can't even have a degree of post-constitutional tyranny to the level of February 2020 in the freaking state of Wyoming with a 28-2 majority. And you know why? I know we can't influence Biden, but I'll tell you, if we had all of our voices going after Governor Mark Gordon in
Wyoming
and Brad Little in Idaho and Asa Hutchinson in Arkansas,
Oh, boy, I've gone after Asa. He is the worst. He is a joke.
He is a whore for big business. Walmart, Tyson's, J.B. Hunt own that. And basically what we have now, by the way, Charlie, we have worse than socialism is not it. It's this government-induced corporate totalitarianism. So it's the worst of all ends. You have the utter greed of the private sector, but you don't have the check and balance of the free market because government, through a scheme of taxation, regulation, litigation, subsidization, gave them a monopoly, and then they downright mandate the shot. So then you have no safety guardrails. See, normally I'm for it. You can make whatever crap you want. I'm fine to go back to that. Except the problem is government brings them into the FDA. You know, it's one revolving door. They're closer with Pfizer than DOD is with Lockheed Martin
and Northrop Grumman, you know, and Boeing and all that.
Oh yeah, it's a cesspool, and now they have the ability to mandate it on us. So you have this conduit where you and I can't elect the board of Pfizer, but they're more powerful than anything else, and they control us. So in some ways, it's worse than the traditional socialism, where you maybe could have some degree of democratic process a little bit. Here, if Pfizer calls a shot, they get it. There's nothing they could do. There is nothing that could happen now that could get the shots off the market. There is nothing. There is no degree of mayhem from it. There are no safety nets. There's no safety guardrails. They've been ripped off. It doesn't matter. It's shut up. I don't want to hear it. And my whole career was made off of illegal immigration, by the way. And it's worse than it's ever been.
Last month, an absolute landslide of all of you made the switch to PureTalk. You were chained to overpriced unlimited plans from Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile. Then finally you decided to make the switch. Because you know that PureTalk saves the average family over $800 a year without having to sacrifice coverage. So do this. Make the switch to PureTalk. You can keep your phone, keep your number, or get massive discounts on the latest iPhones and Androids. And let me be clear, you are not sacrificing service with PureTalk. Let me say that again. You are not sacrificing service with PureTalk. They're on the same network as one of the big guys. Plus, PureTalk invests a fortune into making sure they have the latest technology. They just pass all the savings on to you. Get unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data for just $30 a month. Or if you still want unlimited data, you can get that and still save a fortune. Just dial #250 and say Charlie Kirk, and you'll save 50% off your first month. That's #250 and say Charlie Kirk. PureTalk is simply smarter wireless.
So you're a faithful Jew, and to use the word genocide is a big word. Tell us why.
Yes. Because I've seen it firsthand. It was the treatment that I couldn't imagine. I where they literally will block all treatments. They'll have people go around the hospitals, confiscate the ivermectin, confiscate any other supplements they have. They will lock people out of it. Families out of the ICUs. They are doing everything they can to systematically find what works and then ban it. So they're going after the budesonide, they're going after that too, but the betadine nasal irrigation. Just for your audience, the most important thing, you're around people, you want to come back. Masks actually grow your viral load. You go and shoot up a betadine solution, 1%. You buy it 10%, dilute it with distilled water, make it 1%. The research behind it is insane. 19-fold decrease in hospitalizations because the viral load is the key and you got to reduce that early. They made fun out of it. Time magazine had a hit on it. They had a hit piece on hydrogen peroxide in the nebulizer. And now they had a hit piece on fenofibrate. And now they have a hit on aspirin because they found out that, you know, the Washington University study that it reduces mortality by 47% because the blood clotting does a lot of people in. They might survive the pulmonary, but the blood clotting will do them in. And 2 days later, they're like 70 years of research with aspirin and heart attacks, because they have to make sure not only do you not take it for COVID, but they're like, damn, there's people who are taking it anyway for other stuff. We got to get them off of it. They are finding every way to possibly kill people. Think about it, Charlie. They said this started 15 days to flatten the curve. Of what? Of hospitalizations. Why in the world would you have an embargo on outpatient treatment? Think about that. They're making sure you have no other option but to go to the hospital. Why would you do that? Why? It makes no sense. You have pneumonia, COVID pneumonia. They'll give you a buterol or budesonide in a nebulizer. They'll give you the antibiotic because a lot of times you wind up getting bacterial pneumonia. They'll give you prednisone and other methylpred steroids. Why? Why wouldn't you do that?
If you wanted people to die.
They cannot afford a control group because the bottom line is, let me tell you this. You know I'm very provocative. I'm very hardcore. I'll hit people on the right even.
I don't know if you're true. You tell the truth. I'll tell you when you get provocative.
But my point is, you know, generally speaking, I'm not such a big fish, so I don't get that much blowback.
If I said what you said, I'd have a fun week.
You'd have a very fun week. So I get away with it usually. Masks were the biggest idolatry ever. Like there was not, and I kicked that thing in the nuts more than anyone. I had more articles on that more comprehensively earlier than anyone else. And okay, it was a little bit whatever. But then when I hit the early treatment, which you'd think would kind of be more universal, like we're not attacking the shots or the mask or the lockdown, just saying, hey, like COVID is a big deal. We agree. Like let's shake hands. We're all in this together. Let's get it treated. Like visceral response, and that's when it hit me. That's the linchpin. Because here's the deal: if from day one we would have listened to Zelenko and Peter McCullough and these guys and Ryan Cole, and we would have treated this just early, 99% of the deaths would have been avoided, and people would have gotten it. They would have gotten over it easily. They wouldn't have feared it, and the entire empire, this hellish empire reset that they have built off of it. Let me just give you one random thing a lot of people probably haven't thought of. All the things they tried to push and they couldn't successfully do, like global warming, you know, everyone's like, I, you know, 70% of people believe in it, but not really, like they don't care. You know, this is their issue. This people feared. You get someone to fear for their lives, they will put their fellow man in an oven. They will get that vicious, and we're seeing this viciousness. They believe we deserve to die. That viciousness, you get them onto that. So they had to get people to fear it. They wouldn't have feared it. But yeah, for example, I talk about crime a lot. They tried to reduce, you know, let out criminals, and it was kind of slow. They have let out hundreds of thousands of people without firing a shot from this. They've everything is COVID. All they have to do is say COVID and they get whatever they want. Why would they want that to end? They don't want the pandemic to end, because if you did, you would have treated it. And now you have all these, you know, viral enhancement, and the virus is getting stronger and stronger the more we play around with it, and it's coming harder and harder to deal with it. We could have, I mean, you know the iteration we had pre-July, I call it the Pfizer variant, because that's when the leaky vaccine syndrome broke out. This thing was a joke. And when I say a joke, I don't mean there weren't people who died, but I mean to treat it. It's like you give someone one thing within like, and you could stew for 10, 12 days sometimes. It was over. Now you got to hit it early. You got to hit it multi-drug. You know, this thing's a real beast.
Mm-hmm. So let's just reiterate in this. And I know we touched on this, and this is the other article I want to talk about in the time we have remaining. Has the vaccine made things worse?
So, Charlie, I don't understand how we could escape that conclusion. None of us, including myself, I never believed this. I thought I knew it had problems. I knew there were a lot of problems with it. It never entered my mind that it would totally bomb out and wouldn't be effective. I didn't trust them.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind, okay, so the few cases, we'll have, you know, a few cases we thought in the South, you'll get a little bit of the Hope Simpson curve. They get the southern latitudes, a little bit of a bump, but it will be the remaining people who didn't get it and didn't get the shot, and mainly older people. And then, and I just want to preface that with something. So the data is, I'm not even going to go over it because everyone agrees. Like, let me just say in Florida, there was a 94% increase in mortality in August of this year versus August of last year, with many more people already having had it, plus zero people were vaccinated then. Israel is almost a punchline. You just see this everywhere. It's qualitatively, quantitatively much, much worse than it's ever been. Mm-hmm. Now, they'll tell you it's the Delta. No, but that's because it was the Delta, as if that was bound to happen no matter what. And boy, is it great we had the vaccine, because without that, man, we would have had it even worse. So now I want to preface this by saying it's interesting that right before this hell broke out around July is when around May is when they branded it Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta. So until then, it was a geographical distinction. It was the Kent English variant, the South African, the Brazilian, and then the Indian one was what they made Delta. It's kind of interesting because that's confined. So this, you make it as a global like progression, as if it naturally was going to go from Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta.
The New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, Force Awakens. Yeah. It's like eventually we're going to get to the sequences of the sequel. Go ahead.
But we caught them. We caught them red-handed. In India, Delta was very transmissible, but their death rate is 1/8 that of the U.S. Then it went to England. England had a way, and Western European countries to a lesser extent, but they had it. But the reason why I say England had the wave when? Mm-hmm. In May into June. Okay, it's a very important point because is Israeli data, now U.S. data shows this too, and studies, it leaks around the 5 to 6 month mark. That's when it wears off, and no one disagrees. Hence, they're saying you need the boosters, but no one disagrees with that. England got it before the leakiness, okay? So we were able to see what Delta is, what it would have been like before the leakiness, that leaky vaccine syndrome. And guess what? It was so weak that the media, you could Google it, Delta, England, cold. And they were complaining, like, people are running around not getting tested because they think they have a cold. That's how you can miss it. So it was a little bit more transmissible. Public Health England has the best granular data every Thursday. Mm-hmm. It's published in the entire world. It was a little bit more transmissible, mainly in the households. So everyone would get it in the household, but much less virulent. That's called Mueller's ratchet. It's a microbiological theory that the virus wants to survive, so it gets more transmissible so it can hop around. But then if it kills its host, it can't hop around as much. So it's either like Ebola, HIV, very deadly, not so transmissible, only through bodily fluids, or it's like a cold. Okay, and fine. Then it came to the America South, and we were like, yeah, this is a joke. This is going to be the decoupling of deaths from cases. And it was pure hell. Like, everyone I knew, this thing was freaking Ebola that spread like a cold. It roped in younger people. I was getting emails like last year, what do I do? My father's on a ventilator. You know, they're giving me horrible treatment. Now it's my kid's on a ventilator. My son's on a vent. It was horrible, horrible what went on there. That was right around the marker of the leakiness. Why do I say that? A man named Gert van den Bosch probably the greatest vaccinologist of our generation. He worked for Bill Gates, for Gavi. His whole life was spreading vaccines. It went over my head at the time, but we saw it. We saw he was right. He said, wait a minute, we're arguing about blood clots, side effects, and that's what to do. But he says there's a macro epidemiological microbiome evolutionary side effect that no one's talking about. If you mass vaccinate in the middle of an ongoing pandemic, particularly with a narrow spectrum suboptimal antibodies that are half-assed, it's like having your weakest member of the gang go up to the opposing gang with your weapons. You know what's going to happen? He's going to take your lunch money, and it's going to gobble up those antibodies, and you have antibody disease enhancement. I want your audience, we don't have time to go into this, I want your audience to Google PBS 2015 Marek's disease, leaky chicken vaccine. And you read that article. And as I was losing people. I read that and I got goosebumps. I was like, oh my gosh, that's what just happened to humans. basically they had a leaky chicken vaccine for Marek's disease in chickens.
Chicken pox vaccine or just chicken and, vaccine?
No, chicken vaccine in chickens,
we
not humans.
I didn't
in
know
chickens.
We vaccinate chickens. That's new to me.
Yeah, there was something called Marek's disease. It was a very virulent disease. And what happened was it was a leaky vaccine, meaning it protected the chickens that got it from severe illness, but it did not. It was called an imperfect vaccine. It was not self-sterilizing, so it did not stop transmission. So what happened was all the unvaccinated chickens died. Like within days, they got around it. They hosed them. So all these SOBs that said, oh, it's the unvaccinated harming the vaccinated, that could never happen because either it works or it doesn't. You can't affect a vaccinated person. It was the vaccinated running up the viral load. They explain this. And by the way, they say in the article, if this were ever to happen with humans, the first sign will be if the vaccine only stops illness and not transmission. And they're like championing that as if that's a good thing. Now, by the way, now, 3 months later, it's leaked so much, it stopped even the efficacy against serious illness. Hence, most of the people in the hospital getting seriously ill are vaccinated as well. But at the time, I want to make this very clear, July, August was the worst pandemic we ever had. Worse than New York City, Florida, Arkansas, parts of Texas. That was that, like, you know when you're choking and it's like the worst part where you can't get it down, but you can't spit it up? That's kind of what it was. It was that month where it was working on the vaccinated for serious illness. It is true. When it started, when the wave started, most of the people dying were unvaccinated. But that was caused by the vaccine. By now, it's fully leaked. And, you know, then it went down to serious illness and death. And hence, I just did a report on my show from Rhode Island from Andy Bostom of Brown University in September. 83% of the deaths were from vaccinated people. You're being lied to when they say most of the people. It's not. It was true initially, but that's a bad thing. It was a harbinger of a leaky vaccine. So when you say, oh, let's just keep boostering, that's not cost free. You're going to, you know what it's like? You know what it reminds me in the prisons now? So they love the criminals. So they want to make sure they're as jacked up and as strong as possible when they release them to beat people up. So they have all these weight rooms. I'm not kidding you. They're like, they work out and everything. You're giving the virus a workout. It's like shooting at the king and missing. The worst thing you can do is shoot at the virus with a crappy vaccine and miss, because then it gets stronger. Do you know what happened, Charlie? They created the virus that they said existed, that didn't exist, now exists. In other words, it transmits asymptomatically, which it wasn't before. It's roping in even younger people to a certain extent. Kids aren't getting pulmonary, but they are getting bad flus, whereas before it was a joke. Not all of them, but some of them are. This thing is bad. You got to get it treated. You got to get prophylaxis. And, we've come full circle. Everything they accused us of doing, they actually went ahead and did.
Hey, everybody. I want you to imagine over 100,000 Americans losing their jobs. Well, you could stop imagining because it's reality, everybody. Since 2015, over 100,000 independent farms and ranches in the United States have shut down. Why? Because foreign meat is stealing their business and robbing you of the quality and flavor you deserve. China has destroyed the American economy through dumping products, and they've also waged war on American ranchers. It's time to stick it to China, and that's what Good Ranchers does so well. They exist to support local American farms that help you make great American meals. Together, they want to restore the American ranch and your meals to the former glory. Get the beef, chicken, and seafood that cannot be imported or matched at goodranchers.com. Did you know that the product of USA tag has been stolen by foreign countries? They process their meat here and then label it like it came from America fraudulently. Because of these labeling laws that favor foreign imported meat, over 100,000 independent American farms and ranches have closed since 2015. Good Ranchers is here to put America first at the dinner table, and the ranchers that have worked raise the meat we eat. They send you a box. Everyone listening to this needs to eat and feed their family. And if you want to support our program, if you like the Charlie Kirk Show, you can kill two birds, one stone. Buy really good meat and get food, because you have to eat anyway, and support our program at goodranchers.com/Charlie right now and save $20 off, or better yet, subscribe and save the box of mouth-watering meats. I'm telling you, they send us these meats and there is a fight over who gets the perfectly marbled filet mignon or the marinated chicken. It is a beautiful sight when the box of meats arrive at our office. Our mouths are watering. The children begin singing. Everything just seems a little bit lighter. And in fact, the day gets better when the good rancher's box arrives, because you know, with the beautiful Phoenix weather, you can watch some college football, throw a couple steaks on the grill, turn up the volume, and enjoy being an American, because you're eating American meat, not Chinese meat, not Argentinian meat, not Vietnam meat, Vietnamese meat, not Iranian meat, not Egyptian meat, but instead American meat. So save on each box of mouth-watering American meats. Go to goodranchers.com/Charlie. They've been amazing partners. I'm such a big believer in this company. Use promo code Charlie at checkout. Goodranchers.com/Charlie. They send you this box of meat that you can feed your family and also support this program, as you guys know how hard we are working to save the country. Goodranchers.com/Charlie. And yet, conservatives and Republicans are still pushing the vaccine, despite all the evidence around them. They say it's a pandemic of the unvaccinated. I want to close on this note, Daniel. I want to be respectful of your time. How do you personally process how we have people living in absolutely different universes, as if there's a different existence occurring? It's maddening for me, quite honestly, and I just decide just to keep telling the truth and keep moving forward. But when I see Republicans that are coming up, they say, oh, no, the vaccine is the greatest thing ever. It's actually, you know, it's preventing all the harm and suffering. Meanwhile, we look at the United Kingdom, 223 COVID deaths today, highest daily number of deaths since March. 79% of the population, 12 and older, is fully vaccinated. How do we process this alternate reality within our own world?
And by the way, Charlie, it's interesting. England, as I said, same Delta as it was the first Delta wave in May, now is very problematic. That's after the 5-6 month Pfizer leakage benchmark, just so you know. So that's actually a very good example of what I'm talking about. Now they are getting a problem. They are, by the way, luckier than the American South, because they got the benefits of the transmissibility of Delta earlier on the cheap. So they do have more built up immunity. They're not going to have as many deaths as we did, but they are having problems. How do I square this? Look, you read the Johns Hopkins papers over the last decade, and now I'm getting into this. Peter Bragan has an amazing book on this that traces the timeline, and they've been working on this forever. And at the end of the book, he literally has a timeline, and I'm shocked. Like, it is shocking, the stuff it's creepy, the stuff they talk about. They talk about PR campaigns. It's a psyop. So you either get it or you're a victim of it. It's not surprising. You know, you go everywhere and this is what you see. And the problem is, as Gert Vandenbosch says, they allow people to look at a snapshot of that second, So you don't see a before and an after and a continuity. So hence all these Republicans, notice that they're always good at 2020 in hindsight. So when it was the mask, they were finally like, yeah, lockdowns are bad. But lockdowns were kind of over then, and the fight was the mask, and they were pro-mask. Then when the fight was the vaccine, they're like, they finally got on board the mask. I mean, to a certain extent, these guys. By the way, and I'm not going to mention names, but you know what I'm talking about. It's like clockwork. And then now they're finally like against the vaccine mandates, but they're not onto the early treatment. They're always a day late and a dollar short. Mm-hmm. They're always fighting yesterday's battle when it no longer matters.
Yes.
I mean, this is the problem with these guys. They're always, when patriots like us jump in the sea, and when it's hard, and then we make it to the point where it's kosher to talk about, and it's not like, you know, like extreme, then they're able to kind of dip their toe in that water. But that's the thing. People don't, I mean, it works. They control, they censor. Think about it. Do you understand the amount of studies that have been censored about things that work, things that don't work? Like, for example, there's a simple study you can do that would blow this wide open. It's called a D-dimer test. And basically, a CT scan could only pick up a large blood clot. You know, mm-hmm. You can't miss it. You're going to feel that, the symptoms right away. But there's something called micro clotting. And that's not going to be picked up on a CT scan. And you're not going to notice it for a number of months and perhaps a number of years. But it ain't good. And if you would run D-dimer tests, and if you have high D-dimer levels, that means that there's microclotting going on in your blood. Why aren't we doing those studies? Well, I'll tell you, because you won't get money for it. And let's say you're an entrepreneur and scientist. You're just curious. Well, what are you going to do if the results are not what you want them to be? You're screwed, because you're not going to get published. And if you try to put it on maybe a lower level or one of the pre-printing, preprint servers, you're done. Like I destroyed a Harvard guy recently by citing, he did a study looking at 65 different countries and 3,000 counties and found no R-squared correlation, and actually negative correlation, between vaccination rates and case rates. I'm a commentary guy, but I just pretty much just block quoted it. And he got, the media went to him, and he's like, no, that's not what I meant. We meant you also have to wash your hands with the vaccine. But that wasn't his study. Like this is what's happening. So there's, I call it unnatural selection. There's unnatural selection. So everyone's going to hear of the conservative talk show host that didn't get vaccinated and died. Now, mine, right? But they'll never hear about all of the vaccinated people that were hospitalized from the vaccine and then got COVID and were hospitalized from COVID. And the common denominator between both of them is that they didn't get proper early treatment. You know, so it wears down people. And I think, Charlie, I think you'll agree with me, our challenge is this. This is the most destructive public policy issue of all time, the most radical issue of all time. But it's the issue that actually drove a spike between our coalition more than anything.
Yes.
You take any other issue and you can know where people stand. If you're this, that, I know people in my life, like my whole, they'll be, Daniel, what's up with politics? And they're so into it and this and that. And on this, they won't allow you in their home if you're not vaccinated.
That's right.
Okay. And you know this, there's a lot of people like that. Like, you know, it's kind of like a Super Bowl. You have the 2-week lead up, the cheerleaders and the trash talk. And then we get to the Super Bowl. I'm for limited government and liberty. Dude, what we've been fighting our whole careers doesn't matter. I mean, it wasn't great. We had cronyism. We're pretty much free people. I mean, Charlie, we don't have a right to life. I mean, you have no way of getting treatment, of living. Like, they're killing our people. Even before you get to the vaccine, just from the virus. I have no problem. Like, our people are trying to downplay it. I'm like, no, this is a serious virus. It's a bioweapon. God didn't create it. It's not God's blemish. It's his son's, as it says at the end of Deuteronomy. He didn't create this. Part of why initially I didn't think it could be this bad is because we were right. You don't have a broadly circulating respiratory virus that's so problematic. And you don't have it. They created it.
It was an act of man. Last question, Daniel. What can people do about this? Because people are losing patience.
Okay, here's what I'm doing. The country's gone. Okay, I mean, it is. It's gone. The question is, could we take areas that are 70-30, 80-20 Trump and instill the will of the silent majority on the political players? Because right now, we don't have a single red state in this country. But there's potential. There's potential. A lot of the state legislatures are about to meet for redistricting for special session, and even the general session is only a few months away. This is our time. This is our moment. If you had everyone flooding the state legislators with saying, you better do this and not do this, the bills on the mandates, the bills on protecting early treatment, going after the healthcare cartel, all the medical freedom stuff, okay, if we had people yelping at them, again, if you're in Arkansas, all you hear from is Tyson's, J.B. Hunt, and Walmart. You could tell me it's a supermajority conservative state all you want, but that doesn't matter. You got to equal the playing field. I have an organization I started, Constitution Action Network. It's conaction.network. It's not an organization. There's no overhead. All it is the audience of my show. I had them mail in their address. And we divided them by state teams. And we need people to volunteer to be leaders. We have enough people. We need coordinators to help coordinate them. And you have 40, 50 people, and you have one person write, a couple of people who are familiar with the legislative calendar. You know, for example, Senate Bill 193 in Iowa is the national gold standard. It is the most comprehensive anti-fascism bill. It covers insurers, public accommodations. It bans discrimination everywhere. That bill needs to be passed in Iowa. It needs to be passed everywhere. This is where it's at. We're not going to do anything at a national level. We need a national divorce. But before you get a national divorce, you need to make state legislatures great again. You need to make red states red again. And there, we would have had a national divorce, by the way, a long time ago. The reason we haven't is because all the crap is on the same side. They're all the same. These red state governors, most of them, but if you promoted that contrast, if you made red states as inhospitable for the left to live in as blue states are for our people, AKA, you don't invite in businesses, give them corporate welfare, and then allow them to hang you with that rope and then promote their culture and then promote totalitarianism in your state, you actually make it a true red state. And actually, if anything, maybe you say, hey, look, sink or swim, buddy. It's either the California taxes or you play by our rules. That is our only hope. If we can't win in Idaho, if we have Ryan Cole in Idaho being investigated for prescribing ivermectin and the legislature doesn't do anything, if we have a 16-year-old girl being arrested for not wearing a Chinese diaper in the state of Wyoming, we're done. I don't know what to tell you. If we can't win in those states, I don't want to hear about, what we can do with the national trifecta 4 years from now when we're dead already in a gulag with a narrow rhino majority. You tell me how a president is going to change HHS. Drain the swamp? There's nothing to drain. It'll drain you. If you can't win in a 28-2 majority in Wyoming, then don't tell. They already have trifecta. Remember, state medical boards, state pharmacy boards, they're all state. Oh, Biden's president, there's nothing we can do. We need to win back Congress. No, that has nothing to do with anything. You need an interposition bill in every state saying by a concurrent resolution, and we're going to be pushing this, concurrent resolution, anything the feds do that we believe is unconstitutional, we will criminalize its enforcement. We will criminalize its enforcement within the state. Let me leave you with this final thought. The Democrats in the blue states have already done this. If we ever had Ron DeSantis as president or whomever, you will not control them. That die is cast. They will do what they want. You're never going to control them. We already have a national divorce. If blue states are able to criminalize federal immigration enforcement on behalf of illegal alien sex offenders, then you better believe that we need every governor, attorney general, and state legislator and county official in a red state to criminalize totalitarian fascist mandates on the bodies of U.S. citizens. Mm-hmm. If we can't do that, shame on us. And we need to just go home. Because then there is no conservative movement in this country. This is our time. This is our issue. This is our moment. It's not about the next fight, the next thing. It's not about the legacy flag waving issues. I'm broadly conservative on these issues. Are you going to save medical freedom, bodily autonomy, basic liberty, or not? Or is liberty just about marijuana, illegal aliens, and criminals? Like some of our friends in some of these organizations that they're awfully silent when it comes to, they call themselves libertarian, but it's quite interesting how this issue is somewhat of an exception to that, those principles. And I just think we cannot recover from this. We cannot move beyond this. Like, I don't, as much as I care about illegal immigration, like I'd rather live. I will live with them running around. Then right now they're killing us. You will not have control of your body when this is done.
I think we're already there.
You know, and we're already there. We are a step away from Australia, a step away from it.
Daniel, thank you for coming. Conservative View Podcast. Check it out.
COVID Looking forward to coming back. God bless.
With David Horowitz. God bless you, man. Thanks so much. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com.
And if you want to support our program, you can do so at charliekirk.com/support. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.